Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Small Business Town Hall with Insurance Commissioner Lara. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you should require assistance during the call today, please press star then zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, Assemblymember Mike Gibson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope that you and your families are remaining safe during this very trying and difficult time that's faced not only California, but our nation. I want to welcome everyone who has called in, especially the small business owners who have suffered so greatly during both this pandemic and also the protests and rallies and demonstrations that you've seen not only in California, but throughout our country as well as internationally. We are honored to present this teletown hall with our California Insurance Commissioner, my good friend, Ricardo Lara. We have partnered with the Commissioner Lara to inform you, the small businesses, of resources during this very, very difficult time. We also have experts from the U.S. Small Business Administration on the line, as well as the small business majority who have joined us as well. They are Zamar Pena, California Program Director of the National Latino Entrepreneur Director of Small Business. Also, Mr. Ted Hines, who is Associate Regional Director of the Los Angeles Small Business Development Center Network. And it's Hyatt, excuse me, I apologize, Ted. Before I introduce my good friend, Commissioner Lara, I would like to give you a brief update on the Capitol as well as the district which I represent, the 64th Assembly District, which represents Watts, Willowbrook, Compton, Carson, Wilmington, North Long Beach, Linwood, Carson, Gardena, and also some of Torrance. As many of you know, since the beginning of the crisis, we in the state legislature have passed several bills to support and combat this pandemic. As many of you know, we passed Assembly Bill 89 back in March that included several funding streams for different sectors to support them during this crisis, $50 million to supplement federal resources available to small businesses via Small Business Loan Guarantee Program. I've also initiated and signed on to several letters to support and including urging the governor to enact a statewide moratorium on evictions for commercial property that's occupied by small businesses and nonprofits, which is very key in California. In addition, to provide and support to the most vulnerable minority businesses, small businesses in our state. I've also held teleconferences that included my cities with mayors, city council members, school board members, small business owners, chambers of commerce to address their concerns and provide resources to those as well and keep them up to date what's going on in our state and also on a health level as well. One of the purpose of this gathering is to ensure that small businesses are important to us all, and I mean all of us. Small businesses, we rely on day in and day out. Small businesses are the very fabric of California and has built this country. It was important for us to make sure that we have you on the line to provide you with updated information and also the most latest information around resources you can leverage. In addition to that, many of you know that we just passed states that seek to fill and close a $54 billion budget hole and gap. And while it's a sobering one, it keeps the economy going during this health crisis. You know, if you know that on the floor, I'm wearing my mask to be an example. My mask says, on the front of it says, California safe and strong. I like to think that We, here in California, represent a strong economy. We are being the fifth world economy, largest in economy. We'll rebound and bounce back stronger than ever once before, as soon as we get through this trying time. Having said that, I am so proud, absolutely thrilled, to introduce my good friend, Commissioner Lara. Raised in East Los Angeles by immigrant parents, earned his bachelor's in journalism and Spanish with a minor in Chicano studies from California State University of San Diego. Previously served in the California legislature representing in the state assembly the 50th district from 2010 to 2012 and in the state senate district 33 from 2012 to 2018. Made history in 2018 by becoming the first openly gay person elected to statewide office in California's history. And we're very, very excited. Would you please help me with a virtual clap and welcome my good friend, Commissioner Ricardo Lara.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Gibson. It's great to hear your voice, and I'm glad your family is doing well. Thank you for hosting this important discussion with your business owners and your constituents who have, you know, a lot of questions when it comes to how do we move forward from not only this pandemic and after what's, you know, we've seen in terms of other challenges. And so I'm happy to join you on Juneteenth and give you and your constituents an update of what we've been doing on their behalf. And, you know, I've personally spoken in more than 25 town halls for small businesses dealing with losses from COVID-19 crisis, and the full list is on our website. And, you know, we've all witnessed our state and nation really reckon with another huge challenge that we're seeing unfold before our eyes, this reoccurring injustice of police brutality that has caused so much pain in our African-American community for generations. And so, you know, for those of us that are heartbroken about the senseless death of George Floyd and so many others, you know, we are all grieving together, but as angry as I am with the continued violence against people of color, I'm also inspired to see so many people speaking out for equal protection under the laws, fairness in our criminal justice system, and economic justice. And so those are, you know, really good times and good things for us to focus on. On one way, the Department of Insurance is supporting our fellow Californians during this time. And what we're trying to do is to ensure accurate and timely information and services when it comes to the insurance needs of our communities. My immediate focus has really been to ensure the insurance industry is prepared to handle claims and to help businesses recover as quickly as possible. I expect our insurance adjusters are on the ground now to help looted businesses immediately access their insurance benefits. I have been in contact with our insurance industry, and so far I'm not hearing of any problems with businesses accessing their benefits, and I will continue to monitor that situation. If you're a business owner that is still having trouble accessing your benefits, please reach out to us, and I will give you a number where you can reach out to us soon. You know, our community outreach team and consumer services team have already begun reaching out to affected communities, lending our support, and have prepared a helpful fact sheet about insurance resources following the unrest that is on our website as well at insurance.ca.gov. As the current situation continues to unfold and our communities work to forge a way forward, we will all be called upon to help rebuild, and we will be ready. Just like we have been ready after fires, floods, and earthquakes, we have a lot of work to do to assist our small businesses and their workers. New data continues to show unprecedented job losses in LA County. Working with our team and the Department of Insurance, I have taken several steps to help our small businesses. I ordered insurance companies to return a portion of their premiums to businesses and drivers affected by the COVID-19 pandemic for March, April, and May. My order covers at least 6 lines of insurance where the risk loss has fallen as a result of the pandemic. And so many of our business owners, as well as our our consumers are going to be receiving, if have not already received, a refund or a credit on various lines of insurance. With many businesses close to the pandemic, you need relief from premiums that no longer reflect your present-day risk loss. So by requiring insurance companies to return premiums, it puts money back in your pockets or reduces your future costs when you need it the most. As a business owner or a consumer, you shouldn't have to do anything to receive the refund. Insurance companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. This really builds on our action I took last month to request insurance companies to give our businesses a 60-day grace period to pay premiums through at least July 14th. We know that many businesses are struggling. We know that many businesses are trying to make ends meet to keep their doors open. And the last thing I want is your insurance premiums to get in the way of you rebuilding, of you opening your business and continuing to be that economic engine for our economy. Many insurance companies have honored the request by offering flexibility to consumers and businesses during this national emergency. And also want to, you know, take a moment to talk about business interruption. There has been a lot of discussion and complaints to my department regarding business interruption insurance. Many businesses have rightfully looked to their insurance policies for possible coverage. As you know, each policy is a legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. And we have seen dozens of lawsuits around the country, including in California, which concern the interpretation of these policies and whether these policies actually cover the losses due to the pandemic. I can tell you we are monitoring the cases as we move through the courts, but I have taken, you know, other steps to address this issue. As you can imagine, I don't have the statutory authority to go in and open a contract up between a business and an insurance company, and so that is a legal contract. But we are monitoring to make sure that, you know, insurance companies are actually allowing you to file these claims if you feel you have a business interruption claim. We have been learning that some insurance companies are just denying business interruption claims without any thorough investigation, or even discouraging business owners from even filing a claim, and that is simply unacceptable. So in response, I required insurance companies to comply with their contracts and California law by fairly investigating every single business interruption claim caused by the pandemic, just as we quite frankly would have done with any disaster, such as a fire, earthquake, flood, you name it. So my department will be watching to make sure that they continue to do and everyone is getting a fair claim. With, you know, all our staff has been working and teleworking from home, the majority of our staff. And so we have our insurance experts ready at the helm to answer any questions you might have. You know, I know insurance is complicated, even for your insurance commissioner, and we can help you and guide you through the process. We have experts ready to help and answer your questions in multiple languages. You can talk to an actual person. This is not a recording. And, you know, we will be there to help guide you through, you know, help you understand your policy. If you have any questions regarding not only your policies for your business, but your on your personal side, we're there to help. And we want to be able to give you the best information to better protect you and equip you as you deal with your insurance company, as you either rebuild your business or get back on track and you know, get you to open the doors and continue to provide the essential services that you do. And so our number is 1-800-927-4357. Again, it's 1-800-927-4357. You can also reach us and ask us a question through our website at insurance.ca.gov. And again, we will be there, and we are in person working Monday through Friday to help answer your questions. So I look forward to the discussion today and answering some of your important questions. Thank you so much, just to remember.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I want to say I am naming you the problem solver. And for those of you, the commissioner is the protector of California's consumers. He's fighting on your behalf as the 8th elected insurance commissioner of the state of California. And I want to say thank you for my refund check. Certainly, those who do get refund checks, we can add that back into our homes, especially during this very, very difficult time. So, again, thank you so very much for sharing with us and also fighting on behalf of the consumers of the state of California. So thank you very much, sir. With that
thank
being
you.
Said, I am pleased to also introduce, please correct me if I mispronounce your first name, Zamare Pena, California's Program Director of the Nation's Latino Entrepreneurship Director for Small Business in the state of California. You're on. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Assembly Member Gibson, as well as Insurance Commissioner Lara, for all of your leadership in supporting not only business owners, but Californians, as we recognize this is a very, very challenging time for our communities in when we think about the pandemic. But as mentioned already, you know, businesses are struggling in so many different ways, so just want to acknowledge your leadership. Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Juneteenth. My name is Xiomara Pena. I am the California Program Director here at Small Business Majority, as I also oversee our National Latino Entrepreneurship Program. We're a national small business advocacy organization that really is focused on ensuring that as our policymakers are putting forward legislation that is reflective of the needs of small business owners, that it also takes into consideration the impacts on those issues that are incredibly top of mind issues for our small business community. Over the last few months, we have been working to rapidly respond to the ever-changing needs of small business owners, whether it's around funding, whether it is around ensuring that you have the technical assistance tools at your disposal to make it through this crisis. This was a monumental week when we think about federal legislation here in the state of California, our budget being passed on Monday, which will subsequently lead to further legislation over the next couple of weeks. When we think about what is happening in our local backyard, in the district specifically, I think it is important to notice that we also have had some significant updates from the SBA and the Department of Treasury for some of those federal relief programs that were included in the CARES Act. Just to give a quick overview, those two programs, the Paycheck Protection Program, as well as the SBA Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, were two of the vehicles at the federal level in which small business owners could obtain funding. As of Monday, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program is now open to all businesses, not just agriculture businesses, as funding was allocated in the second round for the EIDL loan program. The SBA was working through a backlog and didn't open up the portal solely for agriculture businesses. So we are delighted to know that those EIDL loan applications are now being processed, that the portal is available for businesses outside of the agriculture industry, and that there is also an opportunity to apply for the SBA EIDL loan advances, which do not have to be repaid. One of the additional announcements this week that came across that I think you all might be very delighted to hear is that the SBA, in consultation with the Department of Treasury, announced a brand new form, the new easy application for certain PPP borrowers to use to apply for forgiveness. We recognize that the application for forgiveness and the process in its totality has been one of those things that a lot of the listeners were concerned about. And so for these forms, I would highly encourage you. I know we have Ted Hyatt here with the Small Business Development Center who will talk about the resources that they offer, but I would highly, highly encourage you all to get connected with your local Small Business Development Center, as we recognize that they are the experts to be able to walk you through this process. Additionally, the Assembly Member Gibson did mention the State Loan Guarantee Program. Included in the May revised budget was an additional $50 million allocation, which would bring the total funding, if approved, to $100 million for that disaster relief program. And that, again, is you will be eligible if you cannot obtain funding through the PPP or EIDL loan program. That's also eligible for ITIN holders here in the district. And so it is a great product. There are several different local CDFIs, Community Development Financial Institutions, that you can work with to be able to process an application. Lastly, with the PPP deadline fast approaching on June 30th, do want to make a note to let you know $140 billion still remains in that fund, in those coffers, and so there is still the opportunity to apply with local CDFIs if you haven't applied, or if you don't have a banking relationship, you can connect with groups like LISC LA, groups like Lendistry or Opportunity Fund. There are several different community development financial institutions which are alternative lenders that have been approved by the SBA to process these loans that work with business centers that may not have traditional banking relationships. And so don't want to discount that. And the last thing before I turn it back over to Assemblymember Gibson that I want to acknowledge is the grant programs here in the city of LA are being discussed. I know additional grant programs are being discussed. Next week there will also be a grant announced by Opportunity Fund for minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, Black-owned businesses. And so those are grants in the form of $5,000 that do not have to be repaid. The requirement is that you have to be in business for at least a year and earn under $1 million. We don't have the specific details yet, but I did want to let you guys know, since we have been given word that that is something that we want to ensure that the most vulnerable of communities receive those dollars that are allocated to support you during these very hard, troubling, and trying times. And so with that, we know that our small business community is very resilient. Entrepreneurship has proven that we can rebuild and recover, and so we will make it through. There are many resources, and I look forward to taking some questions. With that, I will turn it back over to Assemblymember Gibson.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pena, the California Program Director of the National Latino Entrepreneurship Director of Small Business Minority. Thank you so very much for giving us that information. We certainly appreciate it. Next up, we'll have Ted Hyatt, who will speak to us, who is the Associate Regional Director for the Los Angeles Small Business Development Center Network. Ted, take it away.
Thank you so much, Assemblymember Gibson, and thanks to Commissioner Lara and Ziomara. I haven't seen you in a while, but it's good to hear your voice. Once again, my name is Ted Hyatt. I'm Associate Regional Director of the LA SBDC Network. For those of you out there that don't know who we are, we are essentially your federal and state tax dollars at work. We provide one-on-one business consulting as well as webinars at no cost to you. Everything we do is confidential. Recently, we've been doing a ton of work around the PPP loans and the EIDL loan that you heard Ziomara break down earlier. So thanks for that, Ziomara. I will say there are a lot of nuances to both of those programs. And so we're really here to walk you through any questions you have around those loans. I think the SBA has done a pretty good job of getting this stuff ramped up in a very short amount of time. And I read somewhere that they've actually done like 14 years of work, essentially lending-wise, just with the EIDL program alone. So they're processing tons of loans, and you know, there has been a lot of there have been some speed bumps with some of the programs. But I think our job is to get the information out to you as quickly as we can and as best as we can. And it has changed a lot regarding the PPP specifically, specific to forgiveness. So at SBDC, we're here to walk you through that. I will plug that we have three days a week PPP webinars every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 1 o'clock. So you can go to smallbizla.org, www.smallbizla.org, and find out more information about those webinars. But essentially, it's We have a gentleman on who answers your questions around the PPP loan specific to forgiveness. And we've also been doing a lot more EIDL recently, which is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. That loan is a bit confusing because there is a portion of that loan that is an advance and that's forgivable, but there's also a loan portion. So it's two different pieces to that, and that's caused some confusion for folks. Again, we are your federal and state tax lawyers at work. There are 130 advisors out in L.A. Ventura and Santa Barbara County who are ready to work with you. We're doing everything remotely right now, but you can call either – you can also call us at 800-794-1402. That's our Spanish line, 800-794-1402, or 866-588-SBDC. Once again, 866-588-SBDC. I did also want to mention that the SBA today announced a new disaster loan for your businesses if they were affected, physically damaged by the recent civil unrest. So that is an entire new program that the SBA rolled out today. And you can find out more information about that on the SBA website. There's also a phone number, 916-735-1500. Once again, that's 916-735-1500. You can call that number Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And there's also a number on the weekends, 800-659-2955. Once again, 800-659-2955. That's your weekend line. And just ask, if you're calling about that disaster loan, ask for the non-COVID loan. So a lot of phone numbers here, folks. I apologize. I just want to make sure you're aware of all the resources that are out there for you. I'm really looking forward to answering your questions as best as I can later. We have other programs out there that we're partnered with. People are asking about other sources of funding. We have had some folks with success in getting some lending through the JFLA, which is a Jewish Free Loan Association. These are interest-free loans. You need to live in LA County and have two co-borrowers who also live in LA County that would be willing to sign on your behalf. These are small business loans that go up to $18,000. We've had a lot of success with folks before COVID in starting their businesses with JFLA. It's a really, really great program. So don't hesitate to check them out. Well worth your time. The other thing I'll mention is regarding the PPP. Yeah, definitely apply. ZMR stated, 6:30, June 30th is the deadline we're being told about. There's still about $100 billion left in that pot of money. If your lender isn't accepting applications, the ZMR mentioned Lendistry and some of the CDFIs, but you can also go through some of the fintechs, PayPal, Bluevine, Lendio. We've had a lot of clients have success in getting those PPP loans. Also, there are other resources out there. There's the EDD. The California EDD has been processing a ton of unemployment insurance out there for folks. It's just a really difficult time, and I really am – every day I feel good that I can actually do, we as a program can do some good because there's so much difficulty out there in the world. And we're doing our best to keep you all as business owners as well informed as we can. And, we need you out there. So please don't hesitate to call us. That's what we're here for. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Assemblymember Gibson.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate, Ted, your information you provided to us. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ted Hyatt, who represents he's Associate Regional Director for the Los Angeles Small Business Development Center Network. Thank you once again. For those of you on the line, I want to say thank you very much for submitting your questions to us. We will try our very, very best with time that's allotted to get to the questions you forwarded to our panel, or those who have spoken thus far, to be able to articulate a response to you. And so, again, we thank you very much. And also, this town hall meeting is being recorded. So the recording will be available on the website of the Department of Insurance. So feel free to access that website for answers that came out of today's town hall meeting. With that being said, with no further ado, we're going to go into the questions. We will pose the first question to our Commissioner Ricardo Lara. Commissioner, you've already touched on this particular question, and so I want to repeat the question, and you may want to expound on it. And it is the following. Many businesses have thought that their business interruption insurance would have covered business interruption caused by COVID-19, but we know that hasn't been the case. As your office has received requests for assistance for denied business interruption claims, if so, what have your office done to respond to these requests and try to assist those individuals who've been denied thus far?
Thank you. That's a great question, and I'll have I have Tony Signorelli from my team who's been really working on this issue as well. Maybe if he can expand on it. But I think the first thing people need to do is you need to know, you know, that not all policies are the same, and we would need to look at your specific policy to better understand what coverages and exclusions the policyholder has. So if a business has business interruption coverage, but the insurance companies are telling them that these losses are not covered due to the exclusions in their policy, we recommend that you file a formal claim with your insurance company and start creating that paper trail. Insurance companies are, as I said, legally required to fairly investigate the claim and formally respond back with their coverage decision and the reasons for any denials that they may make. While it's, you know, more complicated than this, many commercial policies have exclusions for loss due to contamination by viruses and similar perils, but on the opposite side, there's several policies that do include this as well. So, Tony Signorelli, are you on? Can you further expand on this important issue?
Yes, Commissioner. Thank you. There are a number of challenges to businesses getting business interruption coverage based on the COVID-19 situation. The first one, obviously, is many policies do have a virus exclusion in their policy. The first thing to check there is to make sure that that exclusion applies to the business interruption coverage versus perhaps some of the other coverages. So that would be the first thing we would look at. And in addition to that, many of the policies also have a requirement for business interruption that the interruption was caused by physical damage to your insured property. And that's really going to be a factual legal question that Commissioner mentioned earlier that the courts are trying to resolve as to whether COVID-19's presence in the community is, in fact, physical damage to your insured property. So those are the two major challenges that we're seeing, that a lot of these issues will be dealt with by the courts. But as Commissioner mentioned, don't take your insurance company's word for you don't have coverage, don't bother filing the claim. File the claim, get the response. If the claim's ultimately denied, come to us. Let us take a look at the policy. Let us get with the insurance company and make sure they did the right thing here so that you're clear what your contract says and what the company's obligation was.
Thank you very much, Commissioner and Tony, for that explanation. Ms. Pena, we have a question for you. The question is the following. I tried applying for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, EIDL, a couple of weeks ago, but was denied because I am not an agricultural business. PPP isn't an option for me. What else is available? What else do I do?
That's a great question. And yes, you're not alone. We have heard from many business owners that did attempt to process an economic injury disaster loan, an EIDL loan, in the last few weeks since the second round of funding was announced. As you all know, when the CARES Act passed, there was an initial allocation made for the PPP program as well as the EIDL loan program, and that created, one, a backlog on the SBA Economic Injury Disaster Loan program in terms of applications that have been processed and had still were still pending approval. And so when the second round of dollars was announced and appropriated, initially it was closed. When the portal opened, it was only open for agriculture businesses. As of Monday, so Monday, June 15th, that portal did become open for all businesses. So it is now available. And again, this is where you can go. The economic injury disaster loan is a 3.75% interest rate loan repayable over 30 years for for-profit businesses. For nonprofits, the interest rate's a little bit lower. The cap there is up to $2 million, although we know that there is a demand for these types of products. And so we have heard that they have limited or capped the total amount that you can receive. And when you do apply, you have the option of applying for a loan advance, which is essentially a grant that you may not have to repay unless you do receive the PPP, which in this case it sounds like it may not be an option. So depending on the number of employees that you have, you may be eligible for some loan advance assistance when you apply for the EIDL loan. And you can go directly to COVID-19.sba.gov. Ted, correct me if I'm wrong there. I don't have the website right in front of me to apply for it's COVID-19relief.sba.gov to apply for the EIDL loan.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Lotto, next question. My business is not considered essential, but I am continuing to employ workers and pay workers' compensation insurance. Can workers' compensation insurance companies exclude COVID-19 from their coverage, whether or not they considered an essential business?
Yeah, no. Workers' compensation insurance cannot exclude COVID-19 from their coverage. All workers affected by COVID-19 on the job are eligible for workers' compensation benefits, whether or not they are considered essential services. So this includes workers engaged in our frontline occupations. You know, we've heard of so many of them these days, such as healthcare, emergency services, food production, sales, et cetera. Workers' compensation also applies to our immigrant workers. It's important to note. And you might recall, Assembly Member, in 2015, I did a bill, SB 623, which was signed by Governor Brown, that expanded protections for our immigrant and undocumented workers in the event that they were injured on the job. So even if their employee doesn't carry workers' compensation insurance as required by law, they are still protected. I issued a notice to insurance companies on April 6th to remind insurance companies that these existing legal protections, I should say, for our immigrant workers. And, you know, people have also been asking, what's going to be the overall impact to our workers' compensation system? And, you know, to those folks, I say it's going to take some time to see what the impact of this pandemic is on our workers' compensation system and on premiums that businesses pay. Businesses that are closed or have drastically reduced payrolls due to the stay-at-home orders may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term, and that's why I ordered insurance companies to return a portion of workers' compensation premiums to businesses for March, April, and May. And also under current workers' compensation regulations, payrolls include payments to employees who are furloughed, even though they're not working, which means that employers, their rates would remain the same as if the employee were still in the workplace performing their regular duties. And to top it all off, employers that provide workers' compensation with an opportunity to transition from regular work duties to home-based clerical in order to keep folks safe, employers are still paying rates based upon the higher job classification. So clearly this is not fair. It's not fair to me. And so I just yesterday issued emergency workers' compensation regulations to make changes to reflect the lower risk of worker injuries in light of this pandemic. The new regulations will mandate insurance companies to recompute premium charges for policyholders that reflect the reduced risk of loss, consistent with my April 13th and May 15th bulletins. I apologize for giving you all these dates, but it's so you know. And you know, the result will hopefully be in savings for many policyholders business holders and businesses. I have John Phoenix from our legal branch to further give you details on the new regulations. I think it's important for our businesses to understand what this means and what we're asking as the Department of Insurance to be able to, you know, really provide coverage that reflects a new reality and not pre-COVID conditions. John, are you on?
Yes, Commissioner. Thank you. So under these emergency regulations, employers are permitted to reclassify an employee if the employee's duties have changed to a clerical classification. And so what that's reflecting there is that the employee's lower risk of injury when compared to the employer's previous classification. This classification will reduce the employer's premiums for employees who are a lower risk because they now are working from home, even though they may not have previously done so. This change is retroactive. It's retroactive to May 19th, 2020, and that's the first day of the governor's statewide stay-at-home order. And the change will conclude 60 days after the order is lifted. The emergency regulations will also lower premiums for some employers by excluding from premium calculations the payments made to an employee, including sick or family leave, while the employee is not performing duties of any kind for the employer. This change is going to lower employers' rates by reducing the amount of payroll assessed, and the employer will not pay premium for paid workers who are otherwise being furloughed. This new regulation also excludes claims related to a COVID-19 diagnosis from being included in future rate calculations. That way, employers are not penalized with higher rates in the future due to COVID-19 claims. And then the commissioner has also adopted rules that will allow us to continue to monitor the overall effect of this pandemic on the workers' comp market going forward.
Great. Thank you very much. Mr. Hyatt, we have a question for you. The question is this. My question regarding private contractors and freelance workers. Freelance workers are considered business owners, yet no assistance has been afforded to them. Since these individuals are ineligible for unemployment benefits, is there any help available to them during this time? And if so, how and where can they submit documents for that assistance?
Thanks, Assemblymember Gibson. Great question. So let's take the second part first. You are an independent contractor, a gig worker, an Uber driver is eligible for unemployment benefits. Now, what we have seen is folks that have multiple income streams, when they go to the EDD website to apply, they maybe aren't getting, you know, it's grabbing the first W-2 or the first pay it sees in the tax. It's grabbing the first thing it sees. So a lot of times they're just not getting their fair amount because the PUA is an extra $600 on top of the 167 unemployment insurance. So this is specific to the pandemic. The PUA is the pandemic unemployment assistance. That's the first thing I'll say. There is unemployment insurance out there for you now. It's a little bit difficult right now because the EDD has been being inundated, but feel free to reach out to smallbizla.org and get an appointment. We can walk you through that. Secondly, as far as 1099s and freelance workers, you're also eligible for the EIDL and the PPP loan. Now, regarding the EIDL loan, some folks had applied for the EIDL when it was only taking applications for agriculture, let's say, and I think Ziamara had answered that question earlier. If that is you, you don't need to apply again. If you were denied because you're not agriculture, you're not an ag business, all you need to do is go to pdcrecons@sba.gov. It doesn't necessarily roll off my tongue, but it's pdcrecons@sba.gov. Provide your application number as well as reconsideration. Put your application number /reconsideration in the subject line and follow whatever information you received on your denial letter. And you can actually, you don't need to go through the portal and reapply. You're going to provide them with the information they asked for on your denial letter. So a lot of folks are from the first round are getting denied now. The good news is the denial is not a no. It's a no for now. So we have seen people reapply and end up getting the loan. It could be something as small as you had the wrong zip code, or they couldn't figure out your bank account number. There's been multiple things like that. Or maybe you just didn't, your numbers were off. Maybe your COGS were not figured properly. So just things, nuances like that. So if you've been denied, please reapply. The other thing I'll mention is the PPP program. So that is for 1099s. So a lot of people, a lot of employers, bigger companies came to us initially and said, well, I only hire 1099s. Unfortunately, for the forgiveness aspect of the PPP, those 1099s wouldn't give you forgiveness if you were the employee, if you were the owner of the business. However, what I was told folks is the 1099s, they could all apply individually for the PPP loan. If the PPP loan is used properly, you can get 100% forgiveness. And on those webinars that I mentioned earlier, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 1 p.m., we walk folks through that. We have a lot of sole proprietors and 1099s on those calls. In fact, on, I believe, Wednesday, we're just going to focus on sole proprietors and 1099s, kind of to walk them through that new easy application for forgiveness. So, yeah, there are programs out there for you. To your question, just make sure you reach out to us. Again, smallbizla.org. Make an appointment with us. That's what we're here for. We have, and the other thing I'll mention is that we were here before the pandemic. We'll be here after it. So we can help you with anything from marketing to web design to access to capital. That's what we do. That's what we're here for. So with that, that's my answer.
Thank you very much, Ted. The next question is for Commissioner Lara. With the current unrest throughout our neighboring communities, businesses want to know if damages to their business property and investors by riots and looting is covered by insurance.
Thank you. Great question. You know, standard policy, commercial policies typically include coverage for physical loss or damage to the insured property resulting from looting, vandalism, or riots. Whether a specific loss will be covered, again, depends on the actual language in the policy and any coverage exclusions that may apply. That's why it's critical for you to understand your policy. And if you have any questions, give us a call, and we can help you through this process. It's important to check your insurance policy for the following coverages: vandalism and malicious mischief, riot or civil commotion, business income coverage. This covers your loss of income when you have to suspend operations and typically is triggered by a direct physical loss. Civil authority coverage, which is business income coverage, which typically includes civil authority coverage, which protects your loss of income if a civil authority prohibits access to your business, such as a local government order, like we've seen throughout several of the manifestations. Glass coverage also. Many commercial policies cover glass breakage, but we have seen some companies require separate glass coverage that is added to the policy by endorsement of an additional premium. I also want to mention two other coverages quickly. Auto coverage, damage to a personal vehicle because of a riot or civil commotion is covered under a comprehensive portion of your policy. Many people don't know that. And so that's important for them to understand. Homeowners and renters coverage, a standard homeowners and renters policy will cover all the perils that I mentioned, riot, civil commotion, vandalism, or malicious mischief. If you have the California Fair Plan policy, that our insurer of last resort in California, these coverages might be optional. So if you're wondering whether to file a claim or, I urge you to contact your agent or company who sold you the policy. You should face no consequences about inquiring about a claim, such as a loss of claims-free discount that some folks may be getting. So whether you file a claim, is going to be up to you, but if you're not satisfied with the answers you get from your agent, please contact us at 1-800-927-4357. Or through our website at insurance.ca.gov, and we can help you through this process as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Ms. Pena, question. I am struggling to find grant opportunities. By the time I hear about them, they're gone. Where do I go? What do I do?
Yeah, so this is one of those things where we have our standard federal relief programs, our state relief programs. Grants can be organized by CDFIs, nonprofits, and, you know, you can't be on everyone's newsletter list, or else I think as a business owner, your email would be just inundated with newsletters from all of us. And so one thing that I would say is our organization, Small Business Majority, does have a platform called Venturize, so www.venturize.org. And we are cultivating, we have combined there several different lists based on the state where these funds are. And that is being kept up to date on a daily basis. We also will be sending out newsletters. We do that to announce different grants. But again, connecting with a group like an SBDC and having a consultant through an SBDC means that you also have someone there that is advocating on your behalf and that is also looking for those resources that may be a match for you, the business owner. And so I would definitely encourage you to look there. LinkedIn is also someplace where I've seen a lot of folks post their grant opportunities. So just want to let you know. And again, we do know of the city of Los Angeles is looking at adopting a new grant within the city. And that may also be open to unincorporated parts of the county. In addition, we recognize that next week, tomorrow, for example, Opportunity Fund and Exxon are hosting a concert to raise funds, and that will be specifically for underserved small business owners, which will be announced next week. So I would say to follow back up with those groups. And again, Venturize.org is a resource where you can also look for additional resources.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hyatt, I have a question for you. We have tried to find a lender that would work with us. However, they are all saying that you're too risky at this time. Do you have a list of lenders that are willing to work with small businesses during this pandemic?
Thanks, Assembly Member Gibson. Great question. The short answer is no, and I'll tell you why, because it just all depends on your collateral, your credit history, and those kind of things. But what I will tell you, I mean, I guess Ziomara mentioned Venturize.org, which I think is a good place to start. But that's all to say that will be a list, but that's not necessarily going to be a list that's going to give you exactly what you need. I will say this. The JFLA, which I mentioned earlier, JFLA.org is a great place to start for folks. We have a team at the SBDC, which we essentially act as brokers. We're not brokers, though, because we take federal and state funds. What we do is help you get all your loan docs together, and we take it out, and we take those kind of documents to banks that we know like certain types of businesses. So there's not a one-size-fits-all, essentially. However, we know we can, in about 20 minutes, can get a pretty good idea about whether or not you're bankable. And if you're not, we can get you ready to be bankable. That's the meat and potatoes of what we do. I will also mention that, Small Business Majority, that Venturize piece has been helpful to us because it's definitely a place where people can find lenders. But I am hearing that the county may be coming out with a new grant opportunity, so that would be nice to see. Again, we can help with the EIDL and the PPP right now. We're doing a ton of those. So reach out to us if you haven't applied for those funds. We can definitely walk you through that.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Lara, you issued a bulletin requiring insurance companies to refund premiums. Will that be for my total monthly payment? And when will I get that check?
Where's my money? I ordered the premium refund, again, because for many people, the risk of accident or loss is much lower due to the statewide stay-at-home orders. So we are seeing fewer accidents. We're seeing falling business payroll and receipts. reductions in liability exposure due to temporary closures. And so the risk hasn't gone away completely, but my department will be watching to make sure that the amount insurance companies are returning is actually adequate as well. So we want to make sure you're not being shortchanged and that our businesses are protected and our consumers. So the amount you get back will vary by company and policy. In many cases, it'll be a credit, a reduction, or a refund will be a percentage of the premiums, of your premiums for March, April, and May as the stay-home rules continue. This will not be a 100% refund of your premium. The reductions will be tied to the change in risk during the months Californians are subject to the stay-at-home orders. And we've already seen a number of insurance companies announce premium refunds and reduction and credits. My direct bulletin is directed at all insurers to make an initial premium refund to all adversely impacted California policyholders as soon as possible, but no later than August 11th. This directive, again, applies to the following insurance lines: your private passenger automobile, which is our cars that we all drive. For our business owners, it's our commercial automobile, our workers' compensation, commercial multi-peril, commercial liability, and medical malpractice, and any other line of coverage where the risk has become substantially overstated as a result of the pandemic. Again, Caleb, I'm proud to say, you know, I'm the only state that required such in-depth refunds, and because we recognize the unique nature of each of the insurer's policies, book of business, and insurance coverage offered, we directed each insurance company to propose the best way for them to immediately return premiums to policyholders. Again, my department will validate these rebates to make sure they're accurately reflective of the reduced risk and that you aren't being shortchanged. So if you have any questions, if you haven't received a refund or a credit, please give us a call at 1-800-927-4357, or you can email us again at insurance.ca.gov. It's also important to say that I've also requested an extended grace period to pay your premium. So if some business is having trouble paying their premium, they should contact their insurance company and inquire about the grace period notice. I made this request to ensure policies are not canceled for not payment of premium due to the public health emergency. Again, we understand that many businesses are struggling to keep their doors open. I don't want them to close because they cannot afford their insurance premium. Absolutely unacceptable. We're all in this together, and insurance companies have to provide you, or should provide you, I should say, a grace period to be able to pay your business, to pay your premium. And what we're saying is, look, if you allow for this business to go under because they cannot pay their premiums, then you lose a client. You lose a consumer and a customer when, if you help them now, you can have somebody for a longer period. And so, you know, I have to say the request is not mandatory. However, many insurance companies have honored that request and are offering flexibility to consumers and businesses during this national emergency. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know we're running out of time. We have another question for you, Commissioner Lara. Is it legal for my auto insurance company to increase my rate as they are mandating, are mandated to give a refund for COVID-19?
Yeah, as previously noted, my bulletin does not require auto insurers to provide premium does require auto insurers to provide premium relief for March, April, and May. While this premium relief is a separate issue from the recent increase in premium, we will be looking at how each insurance company came up with this relief amounts and how that may impact rates in the future. With regard to your premium increase, we would need to look at the specifics of that situation. An insured premium may increase for a number of reasons. For example, a recent accident or traffic violation, purchasing a new vehicle, or adding an additional driver. All these things may increase your premium. But even if everything is the same, and insurance company rates are based upon their past losses, so we would need to look at your specific situation to make sure insurance companies are charging you the rates which are filed with the department. So I encourage you to file a request for assistance with our department, and we can review your premium that you may have gotten in terms of a premium increase.
Great. Thank you very much. Ms. Pena, I received a Payroll Protection Program, PPP loan, but am concerned about the forgiveness application and process. How can I prepare myself so that I can receive forgiveness, as I am afraid I'll be left with a lot of debt?
Yeah, so this is something that I think many business owners recognize, that the program as a whole was designed to ensure that you could provide payroll as well, but it also did make it a point to have some of those expenses be forgivable. Now, there have been some changes through the Paycheck Protection Program Flexibility Act, or the PPFA, and I would say to connect with an SBDC again, not to sound like a broken record, but I think that working with a consultant to structure your account and to work through your numbers is incredibly important as you start also looking at the forgiveness application, whether that's the full forgiveness application or the new easy application.
Thank you very much. Commissioner, one final question for you, and then we have one question for Ted, and then we'll conclude on that note. Commissioner, can you speak to your office efforts in regards to supply diversity in the insurance industry, specifically for minority-owned, women-owned, and LGBT-owned small businesses?
Yes, quickly, you know, this health crisis is showing all the gaps that exist in our economy, and it's really falling the hardest on our diverse business owners. That is why our supplier diversity initiative has never been more important. We have seen contracts between the insurance industry and California's diverse-owned businesses increase 93% over the five-year period, from $930 million to almost $2 billion. That includes women-owned, veteran-owned, disabled veteran-owned, minority and LGBTQ-owned businesses, as well as advancing the diversity of insurance company corporate boards, which is also another big issue. I want to see those numbers go even higher. Recently, I announced two new appointees to the Insurance Diversity Task Force, a group of amazing leaders who will help provide recommendations to the department and can better serve as resources for our small business owners. You know, I'm proud to have appointed our first Hmong American supplier diversity expert who has worked in underserved communities, including farmers and small business owners in the Central Valley, which we have no representation there, in addition to our president-elect of the National Association organization that represents the voice of over 1.3 million women business owners in California. And, you know, on the policy side, last year I sponsored Senate Bill 534 by Senator Steve Bradford, the governor signed, which will now require over 260 California insurance companies to report out their supplier diversity efforts. So, you know, we keep tackling this issue and we continue to report this and look forward to working with the legislature and with the U.S. Senate member to make sure we can always do better. So we'll continue to do so.
Thank you very much. My final question is for Ted. What tips can you give us about navigating the PPP and the EIDL portal? I have tried to apply as an independent contractor, but because I did not have a business account prior to COVID-19, my bank says I can't apply for a PPP.
So the PPP loan, yes, it has to be, the application needs to go through a lender. Now, if your bank is telling you they don't want to take your application, you can go to maybe some of the fintechs out there, the Lendustries, the Lendios, PayPal, Bluevine, those folks might take your application. If you go to a bank such as maybe like California Bank and Trust or a place like that, they may require you to open a business account in order to be able to apply for the PPP. So reach out to us and we can walk you through what that looks like. As far as the EIDL portal, that's, I guess that's COVID-19 relief at SBA.gov. That's actually, those are U.S. Treasury funds. So that's a separate program. You have to go through that portal to apply, only that portal to apply for the EIDL loan. If you go to, you know, different lender, they're all going to have different portals for the PPP loan. So it just, it kind of just depends on where you end up, but I would encourage you to reach out to us at SBDC, and we can walk you through the steps, because those funds for the PPP, we're thinking, you know, you're not going to be able to apply after June 30th. So definitely reach out if you could, smallbizla.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me say thank you very much to Commissioner Lara, to Ms. Pena, and also Mr. Hyatt for, one, taking time out of your busy schedule and providing answers to so many questions. We would invite those who are still listening to please go to these websites and find and get other additional information. They've given you a number of telephone numbers. We certainly want to encourage each of you, hopefully you've written those numbers down and you will follow up with them, and also with all the information they have provided. I want to say again, thank you very much. On behalf of my office, I want to thank Mr. Victor Ibarra, who's on the line, who works on my team. I want to also thank everyone for tuning in. My office continues to remain open. Even though physically my team is not in the office, they're answering calls, doing casework, and continue to meet our constituencies' needs as they arise. I also want to let you know that my team are, in fact, available by email, by phone. Please visit my website for additional information. My website is www.asm.ca.gov/Gibson, G-I-P as in Paul, S-O-N. Also, for additional information, we certainly want to encourage you to call 211, and that's the Los Angeles County Information Line, for a quick response and also information, and also for the City of Los Angeles, 311. Again, these two numbers, 211 and 311, act as resources and to be able to connect you to the right resources and lead you in the right direction. I want to say it's been a pleasure. We can get through this together. Let's remain safe, healthy. Again, we will get through this together. I want to thank you all for being here. Stay safe, stay healthy. God bless you. Have
thank
a great
you.
Evening. Happy Father's Day to everyone.
And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T conferencing service. You may now disconnect.
We're sorry, your conference is ending now. Please hang.